KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 24 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 42. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Iowa Democrat Bruce Braley, a candidate for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Tom Harkin, will be in Atlantic next week. The Waterloo man will visit the Family Table restaurant next Wednesday, February 19th, from 9:30 until 10:15 a.m. Braley, a congressman from Iowa's 1st District, announced his candidacy for the Senate seat soon after Harkin made his public retirement plans. Cass County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Tully says everyone is invited to attend the event and learn more about the candidate so they can make a more educated choice when heading to the polls in November. News time is 8:01.
Robinson True Value Hardware is celebrating 75 years of serving all your home maintenance, repair, and hardware needs. To honor this milestone, they invite you down to enjoy refreshments, door prizes, and amazing in-store specials Thursday through Saturday, February 13th, 14th, and 15th. Stop in to help them celebrate the 75th anniversary. That's Robinson True Value at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic, where you'll find paint for every surface and hardware for every purpose.
Well, grants will enable a community group to plant trees along a three-mile stretch of a busy Council Bluffs Street. The North Broadway Alliance says it's received $55,000 from various organizations to complete the project. Volunteers will help with the plantings, which will take place when the weather is better. The Daily Nonpareil reports the trees will be planted three deep with ornamentals nearest the street and larger trees behind. Organizers say the project will bring residents together. The North Broadway Alliance is a grassroots group comprised of neighborhood associations. The Atlantic Police Department reported yesterday there were two accidents in town on Tuesday. The first happened at around 8 a.m. at the intersection of 6th and Oak Streets. Officials say a vehicle driven by Julie Steffens of Atlantic was traveling south on Oak. At the same time, a vehicle driven by Mark Ruthfus of Atlantic was traveling east on 6th. Officials say Ruthfus refused or failed to yield, that is, from the stop sign, and the vehicles collided in the middle of the intersection, causing a total of $4,000 damage. There were no injuries reported. Ruthfus was cited for failure to yield. The second accident happened around 4:30 p.m. Tuesday in the 300 block of Chestnut Street. The police department says a vehicle that was parked and occupied by James Murray of Atlantic was beginning to back out of a stall on the road, and Murray didn't see a vehicle owned by Megan Campbell of Atlantic. When he was backing out, his vehicle struck the right front corner of the Campbell vehicle, causing $2,000 damage. There were no injuries and no citations issued. Police in Harlan arrested six individuals over the course of the past week. On Sunday, 20-year-old Dylan Hansen of Harlan was taken into custody on an active Shelby County warrant for delivery of a controlled substance. He was being held in the Shelby County Jail on $50,000 bond. Last Saturday, two juveniles were arrested following an investigation into reference to checks that were stolen from a residence on Onyx Drive. 16-year-olds Brendan Ballantyne and Justin Dickinson, both of Harlan, were taken into custody. Dickinson was charged with theft in the fifth degree and five counts of felony forgery. Ballantyne was charged with 17 counts of felony forgery. The teens were cited and then released to a parent. Their cases were referred to juvenile court. On February 6th, 28-year-old Justin Beck of Harlan was arrested following a traffic accident in 6th and Victoria Streets. Beck was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated, or OWI. And on February 5th, 23-year-old Jeremy Bias and 35-year-old Jeffrey Simpson, both of Harlan, were arrested when officers investigated a fire under the Highway 44 bridge east of Harlan. As a result of that investigation, Bias and Simpson were located and found to be in possession of several articles that had been reported stolen from four Harlan churches. Bias and Simpson were transported to the Shelby County Jail. Simpson was charged with four counts of burglary in the third degree, two counts of criminal mischief in the fifth degree, criminal mischief in the third degree, possession of stolen property, ongoing criminal conduct, and trespass. Bias was charged with possession of stolen property. And the Harlan police report also 50-year-old Janice Scheffler of Harlan was cited last week for allowing a dog to run at large, fifth offense. That's after animal control officers found her dog running at large in the area of 8th and Willow Streets in Harlan. And in a report issued Wednesday, the Harlan Police Department announced several arrests occurred and citations were issued from mid-January to late January. On January 26th, 19-year-old Ryan Corder and 15-year-old Nicholas Hainer were taken into custody in connection with a wallet reported missing from a vehicle in the 300 block of 5th Street. Cordler was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with theft in the 5th degree, possession of a controlled substance, credit card fraud, and unlawful possession of prescription drugs. Hayner was charged with credit card fraud and joint criminal conduct. He was released to his parent and will be referred to juvenile court. On January 30th, 18-year-old Roslyn Horner of Tacoma, Washington, was cited for possession of drug paraphernalia in Harlan, where the owner of the residence where she was staying reported her drug use. Horner was cited, given a court date, and released. On January 21st, 44-year-old Stephen Weber was arrested following an investigation into a vehicle allegedly stolen that was in his possession. The vehicle had been reported missing from LaPorte City. Weber was served with a warrant for possession of stolen property. He made his initial appearance and was released with a court date. On January 22nd, police in Harlan arrested 31-year-old Catherine Hayes and 44-year-old Stephen Weber, both of Harlan, after officers were called to a domestic disturbance at the Lincoln Pines apartment. Hayes and Weber were both transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with domestic abuse assault. And finally, on January 31st, 34-year-old Daniel Grable of Harlan was arrested by the PD when the staff of the Big House Bar told officers that Graybill had been asked to leave but refused. Graybill was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with public intoxication. The Page County Sheriff's Office reports a man was arrested Tuesday night for violating the terms of Iowa's sex offender registry. 25-year-old Robert Andrew Hall of Coyne was arrested in Amity Township at around 7 p.m. for the offense, which is an aggravated misdemeanor. Hall was being held without bond in the Page County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. He'd been convicted in Decatur County in June of 2008 on two counts of assault with the intent to commit sexual abuse. Page County Sheriff's Office reports an incident about a suspicious Good Samaritan motorist occurred earlier this week. Sheriff Lyle Palmer says that around 4 p.m. Tuesday, his office received a call from a Southwest Iowa resident who reported that on Monday, February 10th, at around 5 p.m., they were traveling north on Highway 59 just north of Shenandoah when a cream-colored car got behind them. The car was flashing its headlights from bright to dim, attempting to get the other motorist to stop. The caller said they pulled their vehicle to their shoulder, stopped, and then locked their doors. They went on to say that a male in his 20s approached their vehicle and told the driver that their front tire was about to fall off. The caller reached for their cell phone. At that point, the male ran back to his car and sped off. The caller told authorities that they learned that there was nothing wrong with their vehicle. The only information given about the suspect is he was a man in his 20s driving a cream-colored car. Now, Sheriff Palmer said the incident should serve as a reminder to motorists about situations that can be avoided by doing just what the caller did with their cell phone and locking their doors. If the suspect had truly been a good citizen telling the caller about a possible issue with their vehicle's safety, they probably wouldn't have mind, Palmer says, having the caller use their cell phone to call for assistance. And he says this is the only case that has been reported thus far to the sheriff's office. Palmer reminds residents and motorists to always report these types of incidents to law enforcement when they occur, because a broadcast can be made and have officers on the lookout for that suspicious vehicle or person. They can be stopped and then questioned. And the Page County Sheriff's Office said they've received several complaints about phone scams where callers are attempting to obtain personal information from individuals for financial gain. The callers sometimes already have information about a person's credit or debit cards or bank accounts and are attempting to gain the PIN or personal identification numbers, claiming that they can offer better interest rates or so on. Sheriff Palmer said area residents need to be wary of these types of calls and not give out any personal information over the phone, especially your PIN number. It's also not recommended that... if an offer sounds too good to be true, it probably is, because once that personal information is given out, it's usually too late to stop some of the charges that may be assessed to your account, credit, or debit. And this will usually leave you in more of a financial turmoil than you may have been prior to the call. The sheriff's office says they and other law enforcement agencies in Southwest Iowa receive calls of scams numerous times a week, but most residents recognize them as just that, being scams. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, East Coast residents are still in the midst of a storm that's left more than a dozen inches of snow in some areas. Baltimore awoke to 15 inches. Meanwhile, about 500,000 people in the deep south are without power after ice and wind gusts snapped tree limbs and power lines yesterday. Amtrak is canceling some of its trains, such as the Acela Express between Washington and Boston, and the Northeast Regional trains between Boston and Norfolk, Virginia. An underground gas line in rural southern Kentucky has exploded, sending two people to the hospital and destroying two homes. A county official said the blast happened early today in a hillside about 100 feet off the road and left a crater 60 feet around. Adair County, Kentucky Emergency Management Director Greg Thomas said one of the injured has burns. Thomas said a third home and up to five vehicles have been damaged by the blaze. About 20 homes that were near the blast have been evacuated. And Secretary of State John Kerry and his South Korean counterpart are warning North Korea against any possible aggression. During a news conference in Seoul today, Kerry and the South Korean foreign minister dismissed demand from the North to halt an upcoming joint U.S.-South Korean military exercise. They say the exercise cannot be used as an excuse by North Korea to stay away from the denuclearization talks or to delay attempts to improve relations between the North and South. News time is 8:11.
Robinson True Value Hardware is celebrating 75 years of serving all your home maintenance, repair, and hardware needs. To honor this milestone, they invite you down to enjoy refreshments, door prizes, and amazing in-store specials Thursday through Saturday, February 13th, 14th, and 15th. Stop in to help them celebrate the 75th anniversary. That's Robinson True Value at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic, where you'll find paint for every surface and hardware for every purpose.
In the funeral announcements, Wesley Dumdye, age 82, of Manila, died Sunday. Funeral services for Wesley Dumdye will be today at 10:30 at the United Church of Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Jerry Sorensen, age 78, of Atlantic and formerly of Anita, died Monday. Funeral services for Jerry Sorensen will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Hugh Sharp, age 95, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Hugh Sharp will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Storm Lake. Brodsky and Jensen Funeral Home of Storm Lake has arrangements. Ruby Kinzer, age 91, of Griswold, died Sunday. Funeral services for Ruby Kinzer will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Leona Hansen, age 71, of Manning, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Leona Hansen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Keith Kirkman, Sr., age 88, of Messina, died Monday. Funeral services for Keith Kirkman, Sr. will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Peter's United Church of Christ in rural Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Zelma Pangburn, age 91, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Graveside services for Zelma Pangburn will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Sunny Hill Cemetery in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Thelma Karstens, age 98, of Atlantic, died Monday. Funeral services for Thelma Karstens will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Phyllis Hansen, age 93, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Phyllis Hansen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Alan Lamock, age 77, of Manning, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Alan Lamock will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Ellen Opperly, age 99, of Griswold, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Ellen Opperly will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Eunice Osman, age 89, of Panama, died Tuesday. Services for, that's a massive Christian burial service for Eunice Osman, will be held on Monday at 10:30 at St. Mary's of the Assumption Catholic Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Helen Landon, age 81, of Atlantic, died Monday. Funeral services for Helen Landon will be Monday at 11 a.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home. Rosalie Clark, age 88, of Macedonia, died Tuesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Rosalie Clark will be on Monday at 1 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Macedonia. Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson has the arrangements. Margaret McNaught Rhodes, age 93, formerly of Guthrie Center, died Monday in Colorado. Graveside services for Margaret McNaught Rhodes will be Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And G. Wayne Olson, age 84, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Services for G. Wayne Olson are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.